Philippians 4 and verse 11, in whatsoever state I am, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Well, that's a wonderful statement, isn't it? And we would all like to be able to say an amen to that. Well, we can say an amen to the fact that it's in the Bible, but we also need to learn it ourselves. Whether we're in health or a bit under the weather, whether we're rich or poor, whether we have what we think we'd like or not, we are to learn with the Apostle Paul to be content, not to be complaining and murmuring and always agitated, but to be content that God has done things in the best way. He's put us in the right place to be. And now, this evening, having considered this several times, we just have probably another two times to go, and we consider how to attain contentment, first with some considerations, and then next time with some directions. They're all quite short and simple. I haven't gone into illustrating them too much, so I think we can go through them fairly simply. First, then, how can we become content if we're not? Well, here are some things to consider. We should consider that the things that we have are much greater than the things that we don't have. That's a very simple way of thinking, isn't it? For example, there was a blind Christian. He said he didn't care that he didn't have what a dog had, because he had what an angel had. So he didn't have the eyesight of a dog, but he had the heaven that the angel had. So he realized that what he had was much more important than what he didn't have. So for us, if we're Christians, what we have is everything. We have a great inheritance in Jesus Christ for all things. So we can learn to be content, because what we have is great. What we don't have, it's not really that much in comparison. Our blessings are as Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3 puts it, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. How? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's why we praise God. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places to all that are in Christ. All that trust in Him alone have this great blessing. Don't undervalue it. Don't overestimate the things that you lack in comparison to the blessing of heaven. Now, we speak with certainty about this, just before we go on, to emphasize that a person who trusts in Christ doesn't have a hope in heaven because they go to church regularly or because they think that they haven't done anyone any harm. No, a person who is blessed with the promise of heaven is a person who has confessed that they are sinners and worthy of heaven and have put all their trust in Jesus Christ. And we come here today to worship God, not to earn our place in heaven or anything like that. I just wanted to be clear about that in case any of you are a bit muddled about that point. We don't come to church to please God, to accept us. We are sure God is pleased that we come to church, but it won't earn us our way to heaven. That's all done by Jesus Christ. And so our blessings, you see how great they are? If we've turned to Him really and hate our sin and love the Lord, we've got everything in Him promised to us. Well, there we are. We shouldn't be murmuring people then, should we? It's much greater than what we lack. Well, that was probably longer than the other points, to be shorter. Second one is, consider if you have some particular affliction at the moment, that God has been very merciful to you in the past. Perhaps on many occasions. Perhaps for very many years you have known great blessings from God. Just because at the present time certain things aren't just at the peak of how you would have had them, don't be discontent, because God over the years has given you many blessings. Thank God for them, despite your present condition. And then, I think that was the way of Job, was very much like that. He knew God was good. Which brings us to this. Consider the abundance of God's mercies that you enjoy now. You enjoy much from God. There may be things you could be a moaning person and complain about, but you've got so much. And our afflictions, in comparison, are like a bucket of water compared to the whole of the sea. God's mercies towards us are great and vast, enormous, and we have an enjoyment of them now in our daily provisions that he's provided for us, and in all spiritual things. Then, fourthly, consider God's ways. If you're trying to learn to be content, and you think, well, I'm not as content as I should, consider this. But God has organized things in a certain way to go about, such as, for example, we have summer, then winter, and then spring. I forgot the spring and autumn. We shouldn't forget them. We do still have spring and autumn. And then summer again. Day and night. Another day. We have sunshine. Then we have rain. Different seasons. So, we have time of prosperity. Time of affliction. Another time of prosperity. So don't fret. Consider God's ways, that he then provides this changing seasons. Don't think in the winter, oh, I wish it was hot, and then as soon as it's hot in the summer, I wish it was cold. Well, it's the same with our afflictions. We can learn that this is part of what God has set out for us, part of his ways, part of his teaching us, part of his working. So let's not get discontent just where we are. There are different things ahead for us the next day, the next day. Another example of how to attain contentment might be quite an unusual one. I came across this one. Animals suffer for us, so why should we not suffer for God? Many animals, their lives are given for us. So why should we be disappointed if our lives are given? And just as if they just go completely. There's your life, it's gone. But it's in the service of God. And in it is affliction and trouble. Why should that worry us? This is how one of the martyrs, Hooper, he reasoned like this when he was about to be put to death for his faith. In the 16th century, he thought, well, I could be just an animal, I could just be put to death. I could be used just like that for the benefit of people. I'm a person being used for God. And he accepted his martyrdom. And it's been one of those things that has encouraged, surprisingly, others. When Christians give themselves wholeheartedly for the Lord's use, and they can maintain or attain to contentment during their afflictions, they have shine. They do very much to the glory of God. Let us be like that. If animals can suffer for us, why should not we should not suffer for God? Then sixthly, there's a total of 10, by the way, so we're halfway. Consider what a short time we have in this world. All our afflictions are, as the Apostle Paul said, well, we've talked about them being light, relatively light, but for a moment. He said that if a sailor is in a storm, he's not especially troubled if he can see the sea, if he can see a clear sky behind it. So he look out at the sea, black sky all above him, rain's pouring down, the wind's blowing, but just ahead of that, maybe some distance, he can see light, blue sky. So he's in the storm, but it doesn't so worry him. Which rather like our life, isn't it? Is a storm going on? shaking, but ahead is the light of heaven, the promise there. And so this is a short time. I was only thinking today, I know it's not a very profound thought, we're already in August. Where's this year gone? I'm sure some of you, 1 year goes in another, like, the speed of a clock, virtually. And we have a short time. If we're in affliction, consider that. It's not for long. You say, oh, it's a long time, but it's not. Compared, certainly, to the eternity, the weight of glory of eternity to come. And seventhly, consider the hard sufferings, the low conditions that people much better than us have been in. We just read of St. Paul in his shipwreck. Think of Moses in the wilderness, Abraham taking off to somewhere he didn't know, the prophets being hated for their preaching, prophesying. And again, we mentioned the reformers in the Reformation being martyred. They're bringing people the Bible. Here's the truth. Here's the way of salvation. And they want you to pull them to death. And especially, you could consider the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it was, he said, foxes have holes, yet the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. If it was, he was not only better than us, infinitely, infinitely better, and he was able to suffer much, even unto the death of the cross and the shame of the cross, and quietly give himself to that. If he could suffer, if other people can, who are worthy of being treated like kings, can have suffered affliction, then we should consider that and be encouraged that they were able to be content with much worse things. And so we should learn to put things in perspective. I always think of these soldiers that come back with only one leg, hopping around, and they take up running and with their new springy legs and start jumping around. They don't seem to complain about it at all, do they? Then eighthly, before our conversions, and I'm saying we're converted, people that trust in Jesus Christ alone, people that come to the end of themselves, knowing that our sins will keep us from heaven, and that Jesus Christ is our Saviour. He's died for our sins. He's the Lord, our righteousness, and all upon him we cast our whole cares, and we believe. We can say we know who we believe, and he's able to keep us. And we're eternally thankful to God for the most wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. I trust that we don't just go to church, but we have a real faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's not just believing all the things, oh, I believe what the church believes. It's saying, no, I trust Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful to him alone. All glory to him for saving me from hell, for dying for my sins. Well, that's how we should be now, something like that. When we're on our own, quietly, we're thinking, well, what's happening? I've been saved by Jesus Christ. But before our conversion, you were in the world. Your excitements were of worldly things, and you were quite content with that, perhaps. Most people, they get on with their lives, no concern for God, and they're actually quite contemplative. We think they must be very unhappy, but generally, people are quite happy living away from God, separately from Him, and they get on with it, and they've got all their difficulties and all that, but that's the way they are. They take it as it is, they get on with it, they do their best, etc., etc. They do lots of things wrong, they make excuses for themselves, but they're generally quite happy being the way they are. Now, if you become a Christian, you should be content that while you don't have all the things of the world to give you happiness, you've got the Lord. This is a great way of ensuring that we're content. Compare life before. Would you go back? Would you go back to a life without Jesus Christ as your Savior? Of just living for today? Living without knowing what the future holds? Living with your aims and your ambitions and all your self-pride and vanity? Would you go back to that and be content with that? Or would you think, well, no, I've forsaken all things for myself and now I'm seeking to serve the Lord. And when I be content, if He brings me affliction to work along the way, to lead me on, I'll be content with that. Encourage yourselves in these things. Ninthly, consider those times when God has given you very much, when He's made you prosper, made you healthy, when He's given you all things nicely set out for you, but you haven't been thankful. Haven't given glory to Him. You've just taken it as if you've done it yourself. But the self-made man is a great example, isn't it? I've done this, I've done that. We should have been thankful to God. So now, when we have some affliction of some sort, when we are likely prone to be discontented, let us be content that every little thing has been done by the Lord. That if we had our heart's desire again, if we were given too much, as it were, it would spoil us. Maybe we're already spoiled in many ways, but it would be even worse. We'd be taken up again. They were told this in the Old Testament. When you go into the land and God gives you prosperity, don't forget the Lord. Guess what? They got their prosperity. They got their food. They multiplied. They had their success. And they forgot the Lord. So, let us be thankful where we are with what we've got and be thankful that all things come from God. Let us learn, like the Apostle Paul, to be content. And then the last example, a consideration to help us to increase our contentment. Consider the good things that God has given you in afflictions previously. Therefore, think that your present affliction may work as a great good also. I'm thinking, for example, of the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul, or a shipwreck of anybody. There was a man called Zeno. He was a merchant. He said, I never made a better voyage and sailed better than at the time I suffered shipwreck. That sounds strange, doesn't it? You think, well, he had his shipwreck. That must have been his worst sailing. But this was because by it, he learned to trust God. I think we probably would have defined similar quotations from people like John Wesley, who when he sailed across the sea, got terrified because of the storms, and he sought the Lord. John Newton was another one. Again, we've got a lot of sailing examples. We think we live in a sailing town. John Newton, who wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, he also was at sea. The sea was very rough. What does he think? Complain? No. What he did was he feared God so much When he became a Christian, he turned to God to save him, put his trust in Jesus Christ. And I think there are similar things happened to Martin Luther when there was a storm, a thunderstorm. Someone was struck by lightning. It put the fear of God into him. So consider what maybe you've suffered some affliction in the past then, and God has in that humbled you, and it made you realize that you were just flesh and bones, that your life at any point could be taken, and then you'd have to meet God, give an account. What do you say? What's our excuse? Or maybe that made you have such a fear that you trusted in Jesus Christ. But you called out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you knew this was the way, and the only way, that you could be safe. So you think, oh, that affliction. As you look back, didn't it do me good? Wasn't that good? I remember once I broke my leg, broke my knee, and it stopped me for a little bit. It slowed me down. I still think today it's probably the, well, I say not the best thing, but one of the, in my top, four or five best things that ever happened was that breaking my leg. It did me a lot of good to stop me, to make me think I was already just a Christian a little while, and I became very serious about things. I was still and quiet. And I thought, now, what does the Lord want? And it may be like that for you. You can look back on some occasion. Think, I've been through a few things. Think, oh, but it made me trust God more. It did me some good. And now today, perhaps you think, well, where am I now? What's going on here? And you can think, well, I better trust Jesus Christ a little bit more. Trust him more and more when I wake up. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through another night, for another day. What lies ahead today? Guide me and keep me from sin. Help me to serve thee and to be thankful and to do something worthy this day. Well, there's a few considerations to encourage us to press on, to become more content, and next time, God willing, we'll consider some other directions in this. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that though we've sinned, though we've not been satisfied, well, when we should have been, with thy grace and with thy ways toward us and the way thou hast set things out for us. Lord, we're truly sorry. And we pray that thou would help us with these considerations to know that thou art our good God and that thou dost work specially with thy people and has this great future ahead for each one in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with him. And we pray now, Lord, thou would grant us a fresh learning to be content in any condition that we are. And we ask this, Lord, so that we may glorify thee, so that we may be those who can be known and seen as people who are thankful for the great work of the Lord Jesus in saving us from our sins and in giving us everlasting life. And we pray that others, Lord, may follow the Lord Jesus Christ and may be brought out of darkness and into his glorious light, his marvelous light, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.